This presentation is brought to you by iAwaken.org, a not-for-profit organization. We hope you enjoy the presentation. Please observe the copyright terms to which you have agreed.
And so the Mishnah says Arba Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah Mahem. There are four different Rosh Hashanahs, and we know the difference is the first of Nisan and so on. The Echad B'Nisan Rosh Hashanah Le'Melochim, first of Nisan, is the Rosh Hashanah for government purposes. So the way documents are dated all works from the first of Nisan. Somewhat like the fiscal year. The little golem, and also for Yom Tovs. Echad Be'el, the first of El, is Rosh Hashanah for Maaser Behema. Tishrei is for the years, for Shmita, for Yovel. Each one is for a different purpose. On Daf Dalud Amud Aleph, the Gemara analyzes the one that says Ulir Golim. That's about eight lines from the bottom of the Daled Amud Aleph. The Mishnah, the Gemara goes back on the Mishnah and talks about Echad near the bottom, about six or eight lines from the bottom. The little Golem. So the first of Nisan we said is the Yom Tov for a Golem. The Gemara goes through that. And then the Gemara says about a line below that, Rosh Hashanah Le'Golim, why do we need to know the Rosh Hashanah for Le'Golim? Rosh Hashanah for Le'Golim means when do you begin counting the cycle of Yom Tovim from? We've got three Yom Tovim, we've got three Le'Golim in the year, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos. Which is the first? Is Sukkos the first because it comes after Tishrei? Or is Pesach the first because it's a Nisan? So we say Le'Golim, and you're counting the Yom Tovim, Pesach is the first Yom Tov of the year, not Sukkos. What difference does it make? Mafkimina, what's the difference? Says the Gemara, Lenoider, it makes a big difference when it comes to Nedorim. If a person makes a Neder, Lameikom Alei Baal Ta'acher, then the principle of Baal Ta'acher applies to him. And Baal Ta'acher means that there's a point after you've made the Neder, if you haven't yet fulfilled the Neder, that you're over in Issur D'oraisa of Baal Ta'acher. So, we're not talking about like a neder, which is more like a shvuah. If I say that I won't do something and I did, we're talking about somebody, you make an undertaking. And you make an undertaking with a lashon of neder. At what point are you considered to have transgressed your neder? So you say you'll bring a korban, or you'll give a certain amount of money to the Beis HaMikdash. 1 year goes past, 2 years go past, 3 years go past. You could still say, I'm going to. So at what point does the Torah say, no, this is it, your time's up, you haven't done it. So the measure is three regalim. But when do we start counting the three regalim from Nisan? The Tanya is with Rabbi Shimon. He just goes like the view of Rabbi Shimon. The Tanya is we learned in a brisa. Echod ha-neder. Whether a person makes a neder. Echod ha-makdish. Or a person declares hekdesh. I'm giving this to the Beis HaMikdash. The Echod ha-ma'arich. Or a person who says that they're going to give their own value to the Beis HaMikdash. Kivan she'ovru olav gimel regolim over b'val ta'acher. So the Brisa says, once three Yom Tovim have passed, you're over b'val ta'acher. Rabbi Shimon, what does that mean, three regolim? How do you count the three Yom Tovim? Rabbi Shimon says, gimel regolim kesidra, and it must be three consecutive Yom Tovs, starting from the beginning. B'chag ha'matzis techilo. So according to Rabbi Shimon, if you made a neder just before Sukkos, then when would Baal Ta'acher be? After the next Sukkos. Because you've got to wait for Pesach or Sukkos. If you made the neder right after Pesach, how long would it take? Then you would have a year and a bit. You would have a year and a half almost, and so because you'd have to wait all the way till the next Pesach and then start counting Pesach Shavuot Sukkos. There's got to be a Pesach Shavuot Sukkos, says Rabbi Shimon. So according to Rabbi Shimon, it becomes very important when you start counting the year. So for the purposes of regalim, that's what it means. You start counting the year with regalim, and the next few daf of Gemara all deals with this mitzvah of Baal Ta'acher. So I want to look at that, at the ideas around Baal Ta'acher a little bit, and the issue of Nedorim. There are two parashas in the Chumash that deal with it. The one is in Parashas Ki Tetzeh, where the Torah says, Ki Tido Neder LaHashem Elokecha. If you shall make an oath to Hashem your God, Lo Sa'acher L'shalmo, that's where we have the din. You may not delay paying it. Ki Doroshi B'shem LaHashem Elokecha Me'iloch, because Hashem will demand it from you, He'll seek it, He'll come to claim it. V'hayom B'chachet, and if you haven't done it, that's a chet. So when does Hashem come to claim, says Rabbi Shimon? After 3 years of Tevim, Hashem comes to claim. The obligation, we'll see in the Gemara, the obligation, the chatchil, is to do it the first Yom Tov. So if you say, you know, being called into the Beis HaMikdash, the time to do it is the first Yom Tov that comes. You go to Yerushalayim, that's the time you did it. But you're only over Baal Ta'achir. Three opportunities went by and you didn't fulfill any of the three opportunities, then you're over Baal Ta'achir, then it becomes an Aveir.
I must have misunderstood, because I thought it could be more than three.
Well, three consecutive Yom Tov starting from Nisa. Right, as Rabbi Shimon defines it.
You have to bring it on Yom Tov.
It's a good time to bring it because you're there on Yom Tov. It doesn't have to be on Yom Tov. The chitech baldin the lo yeh the chochet. And then another important pasuk: if you don't make a neder, there's no sin involved. There's a mitzvah in fulfilling a neder. There's an avera in not fulfilling a neder, but there's no avera in not making a neder. Metzosa fosecho tishmor v'asiso. What comes out of your mouth, you should keep and do. As you've undertaken to Hashem, your God, as a nedova, as a donation, as you've said with your mouth, so you should do. So that's a very strong sequence of psukim that place an enormous obligation on us to fulfill those obligations. And what we'll look at tonight a little bit is what is covered by that? Any undertaking, only something you give to the Beis HaMikdash, what are the boundaries of this very important halacha, and what does it mean? The Spooner says something very interesting, and says, if you look, the first pasuk was ki tida neder l'Hashem elokecha, ki tida neder l'Hashem elokecha. If you make an oath to Hashem, lo ta'acher l'shalmo, you shall not delay paying it, says the Spooner. Hinei ra'ui shiye amen devarecho im hakol. You should be trustworthy with everyone, not just with Hashem. What this pasuk is telling you is not that if you make an oath to Hashem, you must keep it. Implying that if you make an oath to anybody else, you don't have to keep it. No, says the Sifuna. You've got to be trustworthy in everything that you say. But when it comes to an oath to Hashem, not only are you obligated to fulfill it, but there's an additional requirement that you make that payment without delay. So whereas in the case of other people, if you make an undertaking to other people, there's a chiyuv to do it, but you could delay, you could say, I will. But if it comes to Hashem, there's a mitzvah to do it quickly and immediately, and that's the chiyuv, yes. That's the one parasha. The other parasha is in Matthew, where we're told, Ishti yidu neder l'Hashem, or yishavash shvua le'esor yisal nafshoi. If a person makes a neder to Hashem, or a shvua, forbidding something on himself, lo yachil devaroi. He should not allow his words to become meaningless. Kechola yotzei mipiv yase. Whatever he comes out of his mouth, he should do. Whatever he said he would do, he should do. That's a different posuk. Is that the same issue? Is it just stated in a different way in Parshas Matos? Is it a different undertaking? We'll have to look at that. What are some of the differences that you notice? So in Matthew we're told, if you make a neder, lo yachil dvaro, you mustn't allow your words to become meaningless. Do whatever you said. In Ki Tetzeh we're told, lo ta'acher l'shalmo. You shall not delay paying it. So in Ki Tetzeh there seems to be a time element. In Matthew there's just a requirement that you fulfill. You must make sure that you do it. In Ki Tetzeh said there's more than just you must do it sometime. You must do it quickly. Exactly what quickly means, those are the definitions of Baal Ta'acher. So those are the psukim. If we look on that Vav in the Gemara, Davor and Aleph. About 10 lines from the top, Tana Rabbanan.
Great question.
Yeah, Tana Rabbanan, exactly. Moses HaFosecho, the Brisa here on Davol, breaks this verse up and learns all the different things you can learn out of it. Moses HaFosecho, everything that comes out of your mouth, Zoom into this assay. That's a positive mitzvah. If you fulfill your undertakings, you're being mekayim a mitzvah. Tishma, you shall guard zu mitzvah lo taaseh. That implies that if you don't fulfill, it's a mitzvah lo taaseh. So we've got an aseh, we've got a positive mitzvah, we've got a negative mitzvah. Ve'osiso, and you shall do what you've undertaken to do, as horo lo beis din sheyei asucho. That's a warning to Beis Din, that Beis Din are obligated to force you to do what you've undertaken to do. So even though it's a self-imposed obligation, Beis Din have the right, and in fact the obligation, to encourage you to do what you said you would do. That's part of Beis Din's obligations. Kasher nodarto, as you swore, ze neder. That's a neder. L'Hashem Elokecho eilu chatos. To Hashem Elokecha, that's a korban chatas, the Hashomas, Eulus, the Shlomim. Any one of these korbanos that you say you'll bring to Hashem, they have to be brought. Nedova, it says in the word, first of the word Nedova, a donation, kemashmo, as it says. Asher dibarto, as you says in the pasuk, as you've spoken, Eilu kodesh bedekabayis. This is giving money to the temple. Beficho zut tzedoka. With your mouth, that includes tzedoka. So those are all the different things included in this in these psukim. Do you notice any common denominator among all of them? What's common with all those cases? Yeah, but you've got to do lots of other things too. What's common? Chatas, Hashanas, Eulah, Shlomim, Dovah. Tzedakah, Bede Kabayis, what do you think is the common denominator there?
Giving up something physical.
All of it entails giving up something physical, paying a price. What else? They're all self-imposed. Isn't that so? Those are all things, they're all voluntary. And we've got that idea that there's a Yerushalmi which asks an odd question but clarifies it to some degree, where the Yerushalmi says at the beginning of Rosh Hashanah, Rabbi Chagai bore kam Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Chagai asked Rabbi Yossi, Ksiv uvayim hashmini yimu. On the eighth day you must do a bris milah. So we're given a very specific time for that mitzvah. On the eighth day you've got to do a bris milah. Ovar v'loy mal, if the eighth day went by and you didn't do the bris, what is the din about Baal Ta'acher? Interestingly, Yerushalmi wants to suggest maybe this principle of Baal Ta'acher would apply even by a bris milah, even though it wasn't self-imposed. That's a mitzvah that the Torah gives. Nevertheless, since the Torah gives a time limit, maybe Baal Ta'acher covers any obligation you have within a certain period of time that you don't fulfill, maybe that would be part of the Baal Ta'acher. Omaleh, so he answers, if you look at the pasuk carefully, what does it say? Ki tida neder la'Hashem Elokecha lo ta'acher l'shalmo. You shall not delay paying it. Dova shehu nitan l'tashlumin. What has to be paid? Fits into Baal Ta'acher? Something that can be paid, yotzezeshen and mitzvah tashlumin. But bris milah has got nothing to do with payment. So what does the Gemara have in it? Why did the Gemara even ask it? This is such a strange Gemara. Why would you think that bris milah fits into this category of neder and lo ta'acher l'shalmo? And what is the Gemara's answer? It's not. It doesn't fit in with tashlumin. So that leads us to a bit of an understanding, because the two words are quite interesting. What does the word chiyuv come from? So if it's a chiyuv, there's no bal ta'acher. Chiyuv isn't, there's an obligation. The Torah told you to do this. There's not a Baal Ta'achil. When you undertake to do something, then this kicks in. That's why the Torah said there's no sin in not making an eder. You don't want to make an eder, that's fine. But if you've made an eder, be careful to fulfill it. So when we get an aliyah at the Torah, we make an azorah. That's a kind of an eder, isn't it? Unless we actually say it with an eder. But if we make it, it's kind of an eder, we're undertaking to give tzedakah. We're undertaking to give tzedakah, it's a great mitzvah, to give the tzedakah. But if you made the undertaking, you don't give it, there's baal ta'achil. And if you don't make it at all, there's no use. There's nothing wrong with standing up at the secretary and saying, no, I'm not giving. I'm not making any promises. When Shabbos is over, I'll do what I'll do, but I'm not making any promises. I've kept no use. Nothing wrong with that at all in terms of it. But if you do make an undertaking, you want to make sure that you fulfill it. So that's nitam l'tashlumin, or those are things that we voluntary obligations we voluntarily create. But an obligation that the Torah creates, that's not Baal Ta'achir. Yet the Yerushalmi asks about Bris Milah. What is it that's going on? What's interesting is the similarity between the words of Chiyuv, I have a Chiyuv, and the word Tashlumin. What does the word Chiyuv come from?
Chov.
Chov, which is a debt. So, and Tashlumin is a repayment. So what is the difference between Chiyuv and Tashlumin? The Yerushalmi makes a distinction between Chiyuv and Tashlumin. It says lo ta'achil l'shalmoi. That means that the only thing that Baal Ta'achil applies to is something where there is the concept of tashlumin. What is the essence of tashlumin? Repayment. What is chiyuv? Repayment. What is the difference between them? When do we use the word chiyuv and when do we use the word tashlumin? When do you pay?
Chiyuv is more of a debt than repayment.
Tashlumin would also be repayment of a debt. If you have a debt, you have to repay. So why is it not? What is the?
Well, there is that promissory note that you have to pay the such and such a date, and then there's an obligation. It's not a date, but not confined.
So where would you? So where would you put Bris Milah? Is that a promissory note, or is that an?
It's a chov. It would be a chov. But it's a promissory note to be done on the eighth day, unless there are extenuating circumstances.
So therefore, there should be Baal Ta'achil, you say, which is what the Yerushalmi asks. Would you have Baal Ta'achil by Bris Milah because there's a given date? So there's an obligation with a given date, so that's like a promissory note with a date, and therefore there should be Baal Ta'achil if you go over that date. No, says the Yerushalmi, that's not called Tashlumin. What does the word Tashlumin come from? The Shalem, from to fulfill and from to complete. From Shlemuth, from so what is the completion in Tashlumin? What are you completing?
Completing your netter.
You're completing your?
Your netter. You've been a netter, I'm going
to
do that.
But it's normal Tashlumin. So it's payment. You go to a store and you pay. What are you completing? You're restoring a balance, a transaction. There's a transaction that has to be completed. So a transaction is something that you initiate. Tashlumin is when you initiate something that needs to be completed. That's but the Yerushalmi says Dover Anitim Tashlumin. That's talking about something that is transactional by nature. Bris Milah is not transactional. It's not a deal that you're making. You didn't initiate anything. That's Chiyuv. Chiyuv is moral indebtedness. Moral indebtedness is not the result of transaction. You can have moral indebtedness without transaction. What are the examples of moral indebtedness without transaction? Tzedakah is going to be interesting because tzedakah does fit into Baal Ta'achil, and we're going to have to look at that. That's very interesting. Is tzedakah transactional or isn't it? Because tzedakah was one of the things mentioned on Daf Vav, isn't that so? It says, Olus Shlomi Nedovo Kotshebede Kabayis Befichozu tzedakah. So included in the pasuk is tzedakah, which is a little odd, and we're going to have to examine that a bit more closely. But a moral indebtedness that is not transactional would be the indebtedness of a child to a parent. That's not transactional. There's an indebtedness. Somebody does you a favor, a chesed. You're indebted with HaKadosh Hatzuv. It's not transactional. You didn't initiate anything. You didn't ask for it. Somebody does you a chesed. There's immediately to the Ribono Shel Olam. We have a HaKadosh Hatzuv for the Ribono Shel Olam. That's not transactional. You didn't initiate anything. It's just that there's chiyuv is moral indebtedness. And indebtedness can result from something we didn't initiate to. When indebtedness results from something we initiated, it's called tashlumin. You're completing a transaction. You started something, you're completing it. That's called tashlumin. When there's indebtedness that is not the result of the transaction that you initiated, that's called a chiyuv. You have an obligation. Where does the obligation come from? From sinai. It comes from you didn't need anything. You didn't ask for it. You didn't have it. You got it. That's how we are. That's what we are. That being the case, it's quite interesting to note, on Daf Dalet again, the Tosfos talks about tzedakas and maisros, and the last Tosfos, we'll just do two words of Tosfos, already create the interesting situation. Umaisros is Tosfos, kigun maiser rishon umaiser sheni, umaiser oni. What is included in maisros, where Baal Ta'achir does apply, maiser rishon you give to the levy. So I understand, that's transactional. Although there's an obligation on us to give my submission, we're not told which levy to give it on, we're not told exactly what food to give, all we're told is we have to give, but we initiate that transaction. Understand that, my submission. My sir only, we've got to give my sir to a poor person every 3 years, I understand that. But what about my sir sheni? My sir sheni, you have to take to Yerushalayim and you have to eat in Yerushalayim. That's not transactional. You don't owe that to anybody. It's not tashlumi. Tashlumi, part of a transaction is that there are two parties. You don't have a transaction with yourself. So when it says, when the Yerushalmi says, where does Baal Ta'achir apply? Baal Ta'achir applies with a transaction that you've initiated. That implies that the giver and the taker of the transaction. So where does Ma'aser Sheni come into it? What is Ma'aser Sheni? So what would we say about that? Why does Ma'aser Sheni include it? Yeah, so this is the din that you take your food, take it to Yerushalayim, and you have to eat it in Yerushalayim. What's that got to do with the transaction? So there's some achronim who want to say, and it makes good sense, that it's like bedek habayis, it's like giving money to the Beis HaMikdash. It's true that you eat, that mitzvah is to eat the food in Yerushalayim, but there are actually two transactions. The one transaction is, it's like a korban. What happens with a korban? You know, we've discussed that once before already. With a korban, you give it to Hashem, and then Hashem invites you to partake. There are two phases to the transaction with a korban. Even where you can eat parts of the korban, a shlomim, you can eat. You remember the sukkah we learned? The Gemara said that sukkah is like a shlomim. You remember that? And we said that's why the walls of the sukkah and the sack of the sukkah are mukta, because you've given it to Hashem. Now Hashem invites you into the sukkah. Remember we talked about sukkah was like a sacrifice in space, like a korban in space. But the same as with a korban with food, you give the food to Hashem and Hashem invites you to sit at the table. So a sukkah is space that you give to Hashem and Hashem invites you into His space, the space you created and gave to Him, He invites you in to share in. So the same with Ma'aser Sheni. Ma'aser Sheni, it's true we have to eat it in Yerushalayim, but it's not a one-step transaction. It's not just you take this food and you take it to Yerushalayim. No, you take this food and you donate it to Hashem. And Hashem then says, come to Yerushalayim and eat it with me. That's really how it is. So it gives us a new understanding of Ma'aser Sheni. That Ma'aser Sheni is not just taking food to Yerushalayim, it's actually but the reason we sit in Yerushalayim is to be in Hashem's presence when we eat it and have a different level of Kedusha as a result of that. What we need to look at is, what about the doim that aren't covered over here, that aren't transactional in nature? A person says, I will just do a good thing. I will finish the Masechta. I will learn the whole Masechta before the end of the year. And the end of the year comes and he hasn't learned the Masechta. Is he over about Ta'achir, isn't he? So there's a Rosh that seems to imply that he is. Listen to this case here. This is the Gemara in the Doim Daches, where the Gemara says that with Nadorim, a neder doesn't work if you make a neder to do something you're already obligated to do. So if you make a neder to put on tefillin in the morning, that's nonsense. It's not a neder at all. And if you don't put on tefillin, you're over the issue of not putting on tefillin, but you're not over the neder. The neder never took effect. A neder does not take effect on something that you're already obligated to do. The Gemara says, "Omar Rav Gidol Merav Ha'omer Ashkim VeEshne Perik Ze Eshne Masech Bezu." If a person says, "I will get up tomorrow morning and I will learn this Perik, or I will learn this Masechta," and those days he says, "Get up in the morning. Tomorrow morning I'll do the Masechta." Neder Godol Neder LeKei Yisrael. That's a great neder, a wonderful neder to Hashem. Also, Gemara Ba'alo Mushba Bo'ei Neder VeEn Shvur Chalo Ashvur. How can that shvur work? We're obligated to learn Torah. That's like saying, I swear to put a tefillin tomorrow. We're obligated to learn Torah. What kind of a neder? Rav Gidol says, "Oh, a wonderful neder. What's a wonderful neder? It's not a neder at all," says the Gemara. Chol Kamashma answers the Gemara, "Kivan di'i boi potzer nafshe b'shvir shma shachis v'arvis." Technically, you're right. You've got to learn. You've got to learn every morning. You've got to learn every night. But technically, you could get away with a real minimum. And the minimum you could get away with technically is Kriya Shema. Say Kriya Shema in the morning, you say Kriya Shema in the night, you've learned Torah. Learned Torah in the morning, you've learned Torah in the night time. And you could technically get away with that. The Rishonim say, not so easy, don't get too excited about that. The Rishonim say, that's provided you already know Shas. If you know Shas, then your obligation is just to keep learning every day and every night. But if you don't know Shas, because there's a chiv to know the whole Torah, v'shinantum v'ghanecha, ad sh'yudim v'terim v'shinonim b'fifa, there's a chiv to be a chiyuv on every Jew to know Shas. Not just to learn Shas, but a chiyuv on every Jew to know Shas. That's one of the chiyuv. So, you know, we get all excited. Ooh, we'll get a chiyuv once a week. Big deal. It's like saying, "Well, I come to tefillin once a year." Oh, you know, once a year, I put a tefillin. It's not a big deal. It's a chiyuv to know Shas. It's a chiyuv to be learning. It's a chiyuv to learn every day and every night. Learning is part of Jewish life. And we detach from Hashem when we're not learning. It's like davening. Because the difference between davening and learning is davening, you're talking to Hashem. And learning, Hashem is talking to you. So if you daven every day, but you don't learn every day, it's like talking and talking and talking. You never listen. Have you ever been with somebody like that? That talks and talks and talks and never listens? What does it make you want to do?
Go away.
Go away far and fast. So what do you think Hashem does when we talk and talk? Shachris, mincha, mairi, shachris, mincha, mairi, shachris, mincha, mairi. When do you sit and listen to Him? He wants to run, and he does. He moves off. I daven, and I ask Hashem, and why doesn't He listen to me? He doesn't listen to you, because you don't listen to Him. Our relationship with Hashem is a conversation. It's two ways. We daven, and He listens. He talks, and we learn. Then you have a two-way conversation. So learning is and always has been just part of Jewish life. And it's part of Jewish life, it's part of daily Jewish life. One learns every day. So this idea of technicality, that's just the Gemara. You could, since theoretically you could get away with learning a little bit every morning and every night, the additional mitzvah of, the additional neder of I will learn a mesechta, that does take effect because you're swearing to do much more than you're obligated to do, is what the Gemara wants to say. On that, the Rosh says, what kind of a neder is this? It's not tzedakah, and it's not korban, and it's not hektish. It's none of the things we learn. So where does it fit into the pasuk of Medorah? Says the Rosh, ki'ilu nodo tzedakah. It fits in under the category of tzedakah. Where does he get that from? Why would it fit into the category of tzedakah? Well, if you look at the Gemara on Davov, where do we learn from that neder applies to tzedakah? If you look at Davov again, three lines before the fat line starts, the third last of the thin lines of Gemara on Davov and Aleph, in the pasuk, which words teaches us that tzedakah also is a neder? Says the Gemara, "Beficho zu tzedakah." Do you see that? It comes out of your mouth. That covers tzedakah. So the Rosh learns from that. That doesn't only cover tzedakah. The important thing with tzedakah is it's voluntary. All the tzedakah, you're making a voluntary obligation. And although it's not to the Beis HaMikdash, and it's not a sacrifice, it's not to Hashem, it's to another human being, zut tzedakah b'ficho is included in that. And so says the Rosh, any undertaking you make with your mouth, any obligation you create upon yourself, that isn't already an existing obligation by virtue of it being a mitzvah, any obligation you create by yourself is beficho, that's included in that general category of tzedakah. That's where the Rosh gets it from. But if you undertake to do anything good, that's part of it. Let's look at the Rambam and how the Rambam defines this mitzvah. So in Mitzvah Tzadi Dalet, the Rambam defines the mitzvah the following way. He says, Huchit Shetzibonu Lekayen Kol Mashi Kibalnu Al Nafshenu B'Mila Shua V'Nedir Tzadok of a Korban V'Zulazeh. This mitzvah is anything we have accepted upon ourselves using a language of obligation, shvua, neder, tzedakah, korban, anything that makes it clear that this is something that we're undertaking, that it's serious. V'hu omro yitaleh, and that is included in the posuk, motse sefasecho tishma. Whatever comes out of your mouth, do. And the Torah doesn't say, so the Rambam gives a very broad interpretation. Even though the Gemara gives a whole lot of detailed examples, the Rambam gives a broad interpretation, says, Motzei Sefasecho, says, after all, anything that comes out of your mouth, I wouldn't say any korbanos and tzedakos and neders, anything that comes out of your mouth, if something comes out of your mouth, that's an eder. If you use any kind of language that indicates that you're seriously, your intention is serious, that's an eder. V'afati shekvar chilku mila zeh aposet, v'somu kul mila mimenu l'inyan. It's true that if you learn the Gemara and Davov in Rosh Hashanah, you'll see that they have worked out specific obligations attached to the specific words in the Pasuk. Omnam ha-kavano ha-magaz mikol mashi zachatilach. But the intent, if you understand that Gemara, it's not saying this is an exhaustive list of the things that can be made into Nedarim. There's a principle. The principle is, shemitzvas asehu lekayim kol mashi yiftah ha-odom the essence is, no matter what you undertake to do, an undertaking is a matter, and one has to fulfill it. If you don't do what you said you would do, that's the mitzvah, you've been over the mitzvah.
What is the punishment?
For that, it would be... Well, it wouldn't be Malkos because it might. I don't think it would be Malkos. Yeah, probably it would be Malkos because it would be a mice in the other. Yeah, it would be a Nisun Malkos.
That's why we say Bli Neder all the time.
That's why we say Bli Neder to make it clear that we're not. So we're not there. We don't want to put into the category of Neder.
Does it work?
Yeah. You say Bli Neder, it's not a Neder. It's still an undertaking, and as the Sipunu says, we should be trustworthy in all that we undertake. So it covers us with the isn't it? We're not over an issur of Baal Ta'acher. There wouldn't be an issur assay of not doing it. But in terms of trustworthiness and doing what we're meant to be doing, it, that one has to do. The Ramban says on the Ramban, V'ani yomer ki harav bekam kolal shtei mitzvah shein chalukas b'dinein v'yonin v'asar lachas. I claim that the Rambam has taken two ideas and mixed them together to make them into one. Ki akosu v'azeh motzeh svasecho tishmur v'asitza me'amar be'inyin mash'odim l'chayiv nafshu v'aset l'shem ha'kiyadiz borach. This posuk is talking specifically about something you're obligated to give. So someone, you said what was the common denominator, it all entailed giving something financial, giving something material. And that's what Ramban says. But this only includes, this particular posuk is only about making a financial, a material contribution to the Beis HaMikdash or to Tzedakah. Except Tzedakah.
Well, you're still a mitzvah.
It's a mitzvah to do. Right.
So if I, the question, could I make a neder to give you money?
That would certainly be a neder. But even to give, since the Torah isn't specific about how much to give, when to give, to whom to give, it leaves that up to you, therefore any neder you make in that area would be considered a neder.
Even if it's there's no mitzvah attached to it.
It's not tzedakah, there would be.
If it's not like
Shlomim, you're right. In all the cases, there's a mitzvah, even though there's not a mitzvah, you must bring Shlomim. Bringing Shlomim is a mitzvah. So, and that's why the Rosh wants to learn from this, and probably the Rambam, that any good thing. So any good thing you undertake to do is an edit because of that. Because any good thing is a mitzvah. Ben shiyid ben advorim ha-krevim lefonov, whether it's a korban or a nitonim b'mitzvah, whether it's things that are given away as a mitzvah, And it says, Hashem will seek it from you. What does the pasuk mean when it says, Hashem will come and seek it from you? It means you said you would give something, Hashem comes and says, no, I'm waiting, where is it? Etc. And they included tzedakah. That's already stretching, says the Rambam, to include tzedakah. But at least tzedakah is also something you're giving away. It's something material that you're giving away. So tzedakah is included. But for when a person obligates himself to do something voluntary, that's called the shvuas bitui. I'm going to eat today. I'm going to eat meat today. Or I'm not going to eat anything today. But it's a shvuas bitui. It's no mitzvah involved. You just take it upon yourself. I'm going to go down to the city tomorrow. That's not a mitzvah. So that's called the shvuas bitui. Ze enu nichnas bichlal mitzvah hakosuv hazeh. That does not come into this parasha. And that's why the pasuk says, V'chitech dalid ve'loyeh b'chochet. And I learned this, says the Rambam, because the verse itself says, and if you don't make a neder, it isn't a sin. So I have to be told that. So if I go say, I'm going to go downtown tomorrow, if you don't say you're going to go downtown, it doesn't make sense. So it only makes sense if you are obligating yourself to do something good, and the Torah says if you don't obligate yourself, there's no avera involved. If you don't bring a korban, there's no sin. If you say you'll bring one and you don't bring one, that's serious. And there's quite a chiddush in that, because if I don't bring one, there's no sin. I could argue, okay, so I said I'll bring one and I didn't. What did the Beis HaMikdash lose? I didn't have to say it in the first place. So why is it such a sin? It was voluntary in the first place. I said, I'll bring it, I'll change my mind, I'm not going to bring it. No, once we said, it creates obligation. One's mouth creates obligation. And that obligation then has the full force of the mitzvah. And not fulfilling it is the full force of our benidra, reshus mitzvah, acheris nisiach dobo. But with shuras mitzvah, just to take an obligation that has nothing to do with a mitzvah, that's another mitzvah. That's in the parashas matris. That's the other one, Parshas Nedarim. So now, why is it so important for the Ramban to separate them out and say, voluntary obligations, if you take upon yourself something that is not a mitzvah, it's just something neutral. I'm going to become a vegetarian, or I'm going to not become, whatever it is, it has nothing to do with Isra or Heter, that comes into Parshas Matis. If it's to do with giving something monetary to Hashem, that comes into Parashas Kitetze. Why is it important for the Ramban to separate them out? Because in Parashas Kitetze, there's a principle that isn't in Parashas Matis, which is that, Balta Acher. So therefore, the Ramban says, Balta Acher applies only to the financial obligations. The others put into, there's a chiyuv of Lo Yachil Dvorah, you've got to do it, ultimately, you've got to do it, you've got to fulfill it, you've got to do what you said you're going to do. That there isn't the chiyuv of Baal Ta'achir. There's not a tight timeline that you have to do it by, which in the case of Baal Ta'achir there is. Why do you think that there's a case according to Ramban? Why is there a tight timeline in the case of the Nedarim involving the giving of money? Because we're funny about giving money, aren't we? Sometimes we get all excited in the undertaking, but not that excited in the fulfillment of the undertaking. But to make the pledge, those of you who've been in communal work will know that the pledges come easier than collecting the debt. And why is that? Because it costs nothing to make a pledge. It's just words. The only time it costs is if you consider the neder, that is Baal Ta'achir. If you don't attach Baal Ta'acher to a pledge, the pledge is meaningless. Because there's no cost attached to it. The others, it's not so serious because there's no cost in any case. If I say I'm going to go downtown, fine, I'll go downtown, so sometime I'll go sooner or later. But when it comes to volunteering to give something away, the Torah doesn't allow the person the pleasure of the pledge without the obligation that it entails, the immediate obligation. It's a little bit like swiping a credit card. It's you know, you make a pledge, you swipe the credit card, whether you know it or not, the money's already gone. So the chiyuv is immediate. The moment you say something, there's a chiyuv, you're supposed to fulfill it immediately, and the Torah gives us a grace time of the Shorash Legolim. It's not that we're meant to wait the three Legolim, we're meant to do it immediately. However, if one didn't do it immediately, one has that grace time, and that creates that makes the nether real. Now, what that enables us to do, for example, is, so you do get an aliyah on Shabbos, and you want to make a mishaberah for a chole, and you want to get tzlacha at the mishaberah for the chole, that's Shabbos. So what do you do? You say, I'll give tzlacha after Shabbos. But after Shabbos, the person might be dead. The idea of giving the tzlacha is to give the tzlacha right now. You don't want to wait till after. So what we can do on Shabbos is we can make a neder. But the neder is only valuable if there's a real indebtedness attached to the making of the neder.
It's like opening an escrow.
Where the money is actually in the money is, it's on Shabbos. It's as if it's something like that. You actually by making that neder, it's as if you actually the money is taken out of your account. Hashem takes the money out of your account at that time.
A credit card. You get a credit card, that instant thing is
already it's already gone. You don't even know. It's like a Shabbos ticket credit card. That's what a neder is. You've actually made the payment. There's such an obligation that it's so strong. It's like writing a check. So when you write a check, the fact is you haven't yet made the payment, but when you've handed over the check, you kind of have made the payment. The money hasn't come out of your account yet, but it's such a strong obligation that it's as if the payment is made. That's what a neder is. What's the mechanism that makes a neder so strong? Baal Ta'achir. So Baal Ta'achir is actually a gift. Baal Ta'achir is not a penalty. Baal Ta'achir is a mechanism that enables us, using our mouths, to make a commitment that is so powerful that Hashem considers it as if already done. So that even at that moment, you might be in a place where you haven't got money, where you haven't got cash, and you want to make a neder, you want to give a neder. As dangerous as it is, because if Chas V'Shalom doesn't fulfill it, that's very serious. But it enables one without cash to make a pledge that God regards as if the money is given. God treats it as a donor. The money is given, the stock is given, and he responds to you already in that way. So Baal Ta'achir becomes an important gift to the potential donor to be able to make an obligation that he's not yet actually fulfilled. Hashem regards it as fulfillment because of the obligation of Baal Ta'achir. So that opens up some feeling and understanding of these complex halachas that form the foundation of this first use of this first sugya from Daf Dalet on several dafin into Rosh Hashanah, are all around the issue of Baal Ta'achir.